Today on Real Radio.
Angels were not created in the image of God. You were. Though you and I are fallen, the Bible says that we will someday be restored unto God in eternity, and we will turn right around, you and I as believers, will turn right around and judge angels in eternity.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series now through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. There's a section in chapter 4 where the Apostle Paul writes of unbelievers who've been blinded to the light of the gospel by the, quote, God of this world. Now, of course, this is God with a small g, referring to Satan himself, whose mission is to keep people in the dark as much as he can. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called A Plan Right Out of Hell.
A Plan Right Out of Hell. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're looking at verses 3 to 6 this morning, and it is serious business that we're talking about today, and I have prayed that I would do justice to the gravity of what's before us. It is extremely serious. It is absolutely necessary. It's something that maybe we've all thought about, but there'll be aspects of this message that people, you know, you want maybe try to avoid. You don't want to bring up, and yet we want to be very careful as believers that we are devoted to the full counsel of God, and we are so often tempted to water down the things that people need to hear the most. Our emotions get in the way. And I love how the Holy Spirit's got a hold of Paul the Apostle. It's almost as though Paul, and I believe it should be true for every believer, that he had a handle on his back where God would grab him like a hammer or a trowel and would go to work with his yielded man of God. I'm encouraged because the Bible tells us that God uses ordinary people. That he's not some super saint, Paul is, but that he's a yielded saint of God. That's the key, for you and I to be yielded to what God wants to do. And to be equipped for the battle, because church, the word will reveal to us today that there is a specific plan that is right out of hell. And we need to be wise about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in our Bibles. Follow along with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 6. Paul says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Strong words, powerful. And Paul introduces us, if you don't know, to this one who is considered the prince or the God, lowercase g, mind you, of this age. What does that mean? We'll look at it in detail later. But that there's a power at work. There is a sinister, dark personality. The Bible says and teaches us that Satan is a fallen, angelic creation of God. God created him, but not as Satan. This is a lesson to all of us. God created the angelic hosts. And they, among other things, worshiped the Lord. They were not created robotic. They were not created as automatons. They were not created its. They are angels. They are different than us. According to the Bible, are you sitting down? It's kind of freaky. They are less compared to us in his ultimate creation. That's weird. Angels were not created in the image of God. You were. Though you and I are fallen, the Bible says that we will someday be restored unto God in eternity, and we will turn right around, you and I as believers, will turn right around and judge angels in eternity. Clearly, there's a big change coming to all of us. But for true worship to take place, angels had to have that free will. And with that free will, they offer up praise and worship to God. But Satan, the Bible tells us, Lucifer, the son of the morning, we know him as the devil, Satan. The Bible says that in his pride, isn't that interesting? Angels can be proud. They sin. And Satan is the forerunner of that pride. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel 28 that in his heart pride was found, and he exalted himself, and he had in his imagination that he would be like God. You ever heard that doctrine before? Anybody who comes along and says that you can be like God is speaking for Satan. Satan said, I want to be like God. And he exalted himself, and the Bible says, in the day that pride was found within you, you were cast down by that wickedness. And from that point on, the Bible says that Satan is the father, the author. He's never created anything. He's not a creator. He cannot create. Angels cannot create. They can only copy. But there's one thing, if you're going to attribute anything being created by Satan, there's one thing, and I'm wondering if you know what it is. He's the father of lies. Very serious. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, be sober, be very, very alert, and be in tune to the fact that we are to be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, notice it's your adversary, it's my adversary, the devil, walks about roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, verse 9 says, steadfast in the faith. You resist Satan by faith. The more faith you receive from the Bible, the Word of God, which is the tool that builds faith in us, we are more and better able to resist the devil, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In John chapter 10, verse 10, boy, write this one down. Why do bad things happen in this world? Why are people dying of cancer? Why are there wars? Why is there death? Why is there crime? In John 10:10, the Bible says, Jesus is speaking, by the way, he says, the thief, definite article, the, not a thief, the thief. There's a thief that's afoot, none other than Satan, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. That's good news. And I want you to think about that dichotomy for a moment, that bifurcation. There are two powers in play. One loves you absolutely. The other one hates you absolutely. One wants you in eternity with him forever in joy and happiness. The other one wants you in eternity with him forever in hell. Why would Satan care? Because you, again, have been created in the image of God. You are so loved. You are so different than anything else that God has created in all of the universe. And Satan hates that fact. He's damned. He's condemned. He is a condemned angelic fallen being. There's no redemption for him. So why doesn't he just give up? He hates so much that until he is confined and bound, the only way that he can affect God now is to tamper with your mind, tamper with your soul. He's a good devil. He's the best devil there's ever been. He's very good at it. So church, listen, this morning I pray that this message not only causes the believer this morning to thank God and to be grateful and to rejoice, but if you're not a Christian today, it is my prayer, I have been praying, that you may tremble to the very core of your soul today. I pray that today's message would shake you up and cause you to wake up and to think that you might decide on where you're going to spend eternity. I may never see you ever again. But through Jesus Christ and because of Jesus, we love you because he loves you. And he cares about you. But the challenge this morning is, will you wake up to the fact that there's a plan specifically designed against your life that is right out of hell? Specially designed and customized for you. Point number one, look at verses 3 and 4. A plan right out of hell means this, is to keep you in the dark. Satan's plan is to keep you in the dark. And he does that by wanting to have your soul kept dark. Dark about your soul, the very existence of your soul. Satan does not want you to think or to believe or to understand that there's a great part of you. In fact, I say it is the greatest part of you that will live forever. Listen up, everyone. You will not die in this world and it's the end of you. There's no annihilation ever spoken of in the Bible. There is a life that is lived in heaven or in hell after death. And Satan does not want you to know that your soul can be kept in the dark. And he does so by, first of all, trying to convince you that there's nothing valuable, there's nothing actual after death. Eat, drink, and be merry, people will say, for tomorrow we die. And that whole proverb, that announcement, is in the mindset of thinking, grab all the gusto you can for today. Look out for number one. If it feels good, do it. Seize the moment. What did Paul Simon say? If you can't be with the one you love... Oh, you guys are pagans. You all knew that song, didn't you? Love the one you're with. Humanism. Pleasure seeking. Amusement. Grab it now. You may never have the chance to grab it again. Go after it. Live for yourself. Whatever feels good, do it. And if it's pleasurable to you, at whatever cost to somebody else, just go for it. Satan wants you to be thinking and living and breathing like that. But the Bible says there's a life after death. But he wants you to be dark about your own soul. Look at verse 3. He says, but even if our gospel is veiled, says the apostle, it is veiled to those who are perishing. This is the great cosmic war of the age. Why are some people, have you ever thought about this? Why are some people so closed up to the gospel? They're so brilliant about other things, or they're so wise about other things, or they're so creative, they're so amazing. But when it comes to the gospel, have you known people like this? They're very smart about their investments, they're very smart about how they do things, and then when it comes to eternal things, they're about as dumb as the day is long. How does that happen? It makes no sense. They're brilliant about everything, but when it comes to spiritual things, they're completely in the dark and even hostile. The word veiled here, you need to know the definition. The word veil is a powerful word. Paul said that even if our gospel, that is the gospel of Christ, is vigorously covered up, it means eagerly hidden. There's a diligence to this. To make every effort to keep out of sight of others. The word, by the way, that's implied is a scandalous cover-up. If the gospel of Jesus Christ is involved in a person's life in a scandalous cover-up, there is a power that is working against that individual. You and I know people who are either not following Jesus, or they say they're religious, or they're not a Christian at all. You know the evidence is indicating they don't know God. Why? What's happening? The Bible says that the god of this age, as we'll learn more in a moment, has blinded them. There's a veil on them that they cannot understand the gospel. Satan is in the business of blinding people. Veiling people from seeing what the truth is. And don't you see in our culture, like never before, truth is being harder to, it seems as though harder to be seen by people in mass today. I think that's a biblical reality concerning the days and age in which we live in. People are calling good bad and bad good. Light dark and dark light. People are defending insanity and throwing sanity out the window. Why is that happening? Why is our culture, why is so much going on in our world that is so dark and so strange? And you look and you say, that's not right. Well, that's because you know the light. You have the light. That great cosmic war of the age is out for the eternal soul of man. That's the prize. I saw someone just before service holding a brand new little baby. And I wonder if that parent is realizing that their number one goal in life is to not buy gold or silver. That's a shock. Their number one goal in life is to not have a house on a hill or on the beach or to have so much money in the bank or to have that degree or that. Once that baby comes into the world, by the way, listen, fathers today, I shouldn't say, there are people fathering children, but they're not dads. And our culture is so sick that if you can get a girl pregnant, then you must be a man. You know what? You're an idiot. That's what you are. That's what you are. Okay, for a 5-minute jolly on your side of the event, you think you're a man? No, you know what? It takes a man to be a dad to raise a kid. You get somebody pregnant, and here's the deal. God will hold you accountable to raise that child that you biologically fathered. He's going to hold you accountable to raise that child to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the goal. That's the goal. Well, I want my kid to graduate from Harvard. Okay, that should be about number 8 on the list. Your child should grow up, number 1, knowing Jesus first. That, why? What's the deal? There's going to be a time in eternity when their degree from Harvard will matter. But what will matter is, did they know Jesus? Did they accept Christ? Are they saved? Those of you who have young children, pray for their soul. Do everything you can to point them and lead them to Christ. Train your babies to pray early, as cute as that is. Have them bow their head in front of their Oreos or whatever they... that ground up spinach that they... I mean, teach them from the beginning. Listen, this is free. If you want to teach your little kids to pray, get them like a little slice of a donut or some little kind of a sweet thing that they love, maybe a little waffle with some syrup on it. They love that stuff. But they can't have it yet. Put it in front of them, and they'll go like this. And say, okay, thank Jesus for it. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, there you go. Listen, I'm dead serious. That child is learning to be thankful, thanks God, and when you have that relationship with God, you get to have sweet things. Teach them. Open their eyes to the light. And then the word perishing here. They are perishing because they don't understand the gospel. The word means to be in the grip of destruction. This is a serious word. Those who do not believe in Jesus Christ are being gripped by the satanic power of the devil. And they are in the grip of destruction. They are in the very process of being destroyed. The word means fully. To be totally lost. To be absolutely in the state of catastrophe. The word can also be translated, the gospel is veiled to those who are damned. A plan right out of hell. In no uncertain terms, the Bible makes it very clear, there's an eternity, and your soul will be somewhere in eternity. Where will your soul be? The second thing is in verse 4 as well, dark about your reason. Not only your soul, but your reason. There's a plan right out of hell to keep you in the dark about your reasoning or your thinking, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Is this not violent? Satan is out roaming around right now against your soul and against your mind. By the way, the word soul is the word in Greek psuche. It's the root word to the word psychology, which we say in English, psychology, the study of the soul. And let me tell you something. You can study the soul all you want, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, you will never, never get down to the nitty-gritty of soulology. Because that soul belongs to God. He made it. And that's why philosophy can never appease and satisfy the soul. That's God's territory. Whose minds, whose soul, the God of this age, Satan, has blinded. Notice Satan's domain. It's his backyard, planet Earth is. Isn't that weird? It's a bit freaky to think, but this world is Satan's turf. That's why when you read the book of Revelation, Jesus in the book of Revelation is handed a scroll. Remember that? And he unfurls that scroll and he meets all the requirements and the demands in the Jewish world. That scroll is the title deed. Somebody who was buying something had to meet all the demands that are in the title deed. When Jesus in the book of Revelation is handed the scroll, he is handed back. Listen, what Adam and Eve did in the garden, they took the scroll, as it were, the title deed of the earth, and they handed it to Satan. And by the way, we've been doing that ever since. When we don't follow Jesus, when we want to do our own thing, when our minds are blinded, listen, we just hand Satan one more brick to build up this wall between us and God. Adam and Eve sold, as it were, the dominion of this earth to Satan by their disobedience. Jesus, read the fine print of the Bible, Jesus gets it back. Hallelujah. That's going to be a great day. It's amazing to realize that in the book of Job and other places, I'll paraphrase it, God says, hey, Satan, Lucifer, where you've been? I mean, God knows that wherever he's at. He knows where he's at. And Satan has amazing special privileges given him by God. And Satan appears before God. He talks to God. Imagine that. Satan walks into the throne room. Hey, here I am. And God allows that. By the way, another bit of fine print. It's all going to turn on his neck in the end. It's kind of cool. And the Bible tells us that God says, have you considered my servant Job? And the Bible says that Satan, when he answered the Lord, he said, I've been walking to and fro throughout all the earth. You ever think about that? Satan is localized. He's not everywhere. And he's got a lot of demons, the Bible talks about, where it seemingly feels like Satan's everywhere. But I would say it's safe to say that none of us have ever encountered Satan by person. He's out there messing up the people who make policy. For real, I'm not joking. I'm not kidding. He goes to where the seat of power is at. Why? Because he can get the mind of one man to make decisions and to change a direction of a world or of a nation. He visits kings and queens and prime ministers and presidents and no doubt global church leaders that are really effective. I'm not talking about ones that are all a bunch of showmanship. I'm talking about real ones. He wants to malign and get into the minds and confuse things and alter reason, the way that you think. The word mind here, that tremendous meaning of psychology or soulology. It talks about the process of your reasoning. Mark this, everybody. Are you guys with me? Yes. Mark this. This is serious. Man, when I studied this week, and I thought, man, Lord, keep me from falling for this trick. That Satan desires to get inside your head, and he's already in the head of those who don't believe Christ, to do this. To mess with the process of your reasoning. The word means to mess with your way of thinking, to mess with your opinion, to mess with your intellect. Listen, to mess with your disposition toward the world. I want you to think about that for a moment. The Bible says Satan gets into the minds of people to mess with the way they see things. Yesterday, up in the mountains, Lake Arrowhead, I was getting ready to go down the street, and I saw a bumper sticker, and it had the gay flag on one side, and the other side said, keep your crucifixion out of my constitution. And I looked at it for a moment, and I was so wanting to pull the person over. Whoop, 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 meep, 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 pull over, and not for any reason except for this. I would love to have gone to the door and say, oh, excuse me, I saw your bumper sticker. Keep your crucifix out of my constitution. I can't do that. Here's the reason why. The Constitution came out of the Mayflower Compact. That's where it came from. And much of the Constitution is written by the treaties or from the treaties of John Locke. Our founding father said so.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called A Plan Right Out of Hell, taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 through 6. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, you may remember the Engage conference, which we held last summer. We got a lot of calls from a lot of believers regarding how to deal with the recent U.S. Supreme Court decision on so-called same-sex marriage, as well as some other issues, so we held the Engage conference. We've since also got a lot of inquiries from a lot of folks who are unable to attend that conference but wanted to hear the audio. Well, here's some good news. You can purchase the audio of the entire conference on a USB drive. Ah, technology today. Just visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and we've made it real easy for you to take it from there. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.